那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达瓦兹那曼达。
I'll begin my talk today by sharing a passage from the larger sutra. The larger sutra is the main sermon of the Buddha upon which our Jodo Shinshu Buddhist appreciation of the Dharma is based.
今日のご法話は最初に無量寿経から言葉をいただきたいと思います。無量寿経というのは釈迦様の説法の中で私たち浄土真宗の仏教等の仏法の味わい の基本となる経典でございます。
Invite you to join me in 合唱。合唱しましょう。Wherever the Buddha travels, be it country, province, town, or village, there is no place which does not benefit from his virtue.Peace and harmony reign throughout the land. The sun and moon shine brightly. The wind and rain are timely, and no disaster or disease ever occurs. The land is prosperous, and the people live in peace. So there is no need to use soldiers and weapons. People respect virtue, cultivate benevolence, and diligently observe propriety and humility.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
皆さんおはようございます。It's very nice to see you all here this morning. We're gathered here to remember our veterans on Veterans Day. Can anybody tell me what a veteran is? Yes?Somebody who served in the military, someone who served in the armed forces, very good. Does anyone here know any veterans? Yeah, yeah. Who's, Mia, can you tell me a veteran who you know?
My grandpa was.
My cousin's brother. Okay, grandpa, cousin's brother. Yeah. Anybody else know a veteran? Yeah? Your grandpa's brother, okay.Yeah, how about you over there? Your grandpa? Okay, my grandpa too. My grandpa was, actually, I have two grandpas, had two grandpas, and they're both passed away now, but they were both veterans. They both served in the Air Force during the Second World War. And my father is also a veteran. He served during the 1960s. He was in the Navy. So I have a lot of veterans in my family.And one of those veterans, my maternal grandfather, does anyone know what a maternal grandfather is? It's your mother's father, okay? So you have two grandpas, your maternal grandfather and your paternal grandfather. But, so my mother's father, he passed away this year in May. So he passed away quite recently. So this year, as we approach Veterans Day tomorrow, he's kind of been on my mind, and I've been thinking a lot about him.Lately, this week as I've been preparing for today's service. So my grandfather was a typical Norwegian-American farmer. Okay, has anyone here seen the show Little House on the Prairie before? Yeah, it's kind of an old show. I bet your parents have seen it. That's basically what my family history is like, like that, sort of dramatized. But, you know, so we're the Norwegian-American people from that kind of Midwestern Minnesota, Iowa area. And so my grandfather was a man of few words. Sometimes, grandpas don't talk a lot, but when they say something, they have something very important or meaningful to say. And that's what my grandpa was like. He wasn't a person who told a lot of stories or had a lot to say, but when he said something, it was always very meaningful. And he didn't say very much about his likes and dislikes. He didn't say, oh, I like this, I dislike that. He accepted whatever he received, and he didn't talk a lot about his preferences or his favorite things or the things he really disliked. But I knew there were two things that my grandfather loved deeply. Two things were very important to my grandfather. Okay? One of those things was his family, was our family. He cared deeply about all of us. And the other one was this country.He was a person who had a deep love of America. because his family had come over from Norway. His father was an immigrant. His father came from Norway, and his father was also a veteran. His father became a citizen by serving in the U.S. Army during World War I. Okay, so his family came over from Norway, and my grandfather actually didn't know how to speak English until he went to school. Do you know which language he spoke? Can you guess? Norwegian, that's right. That's right. So he spoke Norwegian around the house. And he grew up on a farm in Iowa, a farm very close to where my grandmother still lives. And he was number two in a family of seven. So he had six brothers and sisters. No, he had six sisters. He was the only boy in a family of seven plus his parents. So, you know, altogether, that makes nine. And so outside of school, at that time, if you lived on a farm, all of your friends in that community tended to be your relatives. So, you know, maybe when you come home from school, you go and play with your friends, and they're not all related to you, right? There may be somebody who rides the school bus with you or lives down the street. But for my grandfather, all the people who he played with outside of school, so he played with his friends at school, but the only people he had a chance to play with when he wasn't at school were his sisters or his cousins. Because at that time, people were, you know, they lived on these big farms, they were kind of far apart, and they would get together just with their family when they had free time. So his family was very important to him. They were very close to him. So he grew up kind of surrounded by his family and very close to his sisters and to his cousins and, of course, to his parents. So as he came of age, as he became an adult, the Second World War was starting. So there was a big war that was starting, the Second World War. And so that was around the time he was becoming an adult, finishing high school, studying. He studied to be an airplane mechanic, so he learned how to fix airplanes. And then in 1944, he joined the U.S. Air Force. He became a member of the Air Force, and he was preparing to go to Europe in the Air Force. And so for him, you know, I always wonder, what was he thinking about at that time when he was joining the Air Force, getting ready to serve his country? And I think for him, I imagine he received a lot of inspiration thinking about his family because they were so important to him. And his idea when he went to the Air Force was that he was going to serve his country and try to make the place, the world, a safer place for his family. I think that was probably his idea. And so when you serve in the military, when you're a service person, like the people we recognize today, the veterans, I think you're thinking about your family, wanting to try to make a better situation for them, more than thinking about yourself. Because you're doing something that's very dangerous, right? And maybe a little bit scary sometimes. You know, he was getting ready to fly in airplanes, and airplanes back in those days weren't quite as reliable as the airplanes we have today, so it was kind of a dangerous job he was getting ready to do. Maybe he was a little scared, but he was doing it because he wanted to make a safer world for his family. But also, not just his own family, right? Because everybody in the whole country, he was trying to make the world safer for them too. So his neighbors, his people at school, but people he didn't even know, people who lived around here, which is very far away from where he lived, he was thinking about probably those people too. But also, people who serve in the military, they don't always just help people in their own country, right? Sometimes they help people in other countries. Can you think of some other countries where people, maybe your relatives, those of you who have relatives or friends who are veterans, do you know what countries they may have gone to? Can you name some countries that people went to? Maybe some people went to Europe, right? France or Italy. Some people went to you know, other places. My father, for example, when he was in the Navy, he went to Greece and France and Italy. He was on a boat and he traveled around. So he was also trying to do something for the people in those countries. Right now we have people in our military who are overseas. You know where some people in the U.S. military now are serving overseas? Can you name some places? You think of some? Yeah? Afghanistan, that's right. A lot of U.S. military people are in Afghanistan or, you know, Iraq or other places in the Middle East. And we have people in all over the world. People in the U.S. military serve in places all over the world. And they're trying to make life more stable and secure for people all over those places. So you're not just serving your family, but it's an idea of helping out people who you don't even know, who you've never met, and who maybe you don't even get a chance to meet. But what you do is helping those people out. So there are many different countries, right? We've talked about many different countries. We've talked about Europe, the United States, Japan, of course, is a country that many of us have a close connection to, myself included. So we have countries all over the world. And all of these different lands, right? But in our Buddhist tradition, there's one land that we talk about a lot and that we really think about. And that's the land of Amida Buddha, right? Amida Buddha's land. So in our sutras, in the sutra that I read from at the beginning of my message today, it talks about Amida Buddha's land. It talks about the land where there is a Buddha. And it talks about what happens when there is a Buddha. In a land, it says that, you know, everything kind of goes very smoothly. And it even says that everybody gets along, they're peaceful, and there's no need for soldiers or weapons. Because everybody gets along, everybody helps each other out. And that's the ideal. That's the Buddha's wish for our world, that everybody can get along and we won't need soldiers and weapons. And I believe that people like my grandfather and my father and my great-grandfather and all of your family members, the people we remember today who serve in the armed forces, who serve in the military, I believe that in their hearts they have that same wish. They wish for a world where we don't need soldiers and we don't need weapons. They wish for a world of peace. And that's their motivation, their inspiration for doing jobs that are sometimes dangerous and sometimes quite scary. And so over the past few weeks, we've been talking about gifts, different gifts, right? We talk about the gift of the Dharma, the gift of freedom from fear, the gift of material things. And so today, we're talking about the gift of eyes, the gift of a way of looking at people. And that's the way of looking at people when we live in the Buddha's country, the Buddha's land. And that way of looking at people is looking at people with the eyes of kindness. It's a great gift to see people with the eyes of kindness. Okay, what do you think that means? To see people with the eyes of kindness. Okay, maybe you look at people and you don't see them as either beautiful or ugly, but you just see them for who they are. And you think, wow, just as you are, you're beautiful. Those are the Buddha's eyes of kindness. Another way that we have the eyes of kindness is if we see someone, we don't think of them as a friend or an enemy. Think of everybody as part of our group. Everybody is welcomed in our hearts. That's our way of looking at people. So when we see people, we can have different ways of looking at them. And the Buddha's way of looking at people is to see everyone as beautiful just as they are. Everyone can be our friend, no matter where they come from, or what they look like, or what sort of job they may do for a living. We can welcome all those people as friends. So this is the wish for the Buddha, for all of us to be born into this land where we can see the world in this way. And this wish is expressed in the words Namo Amida Butsu, that we say again and again in our service. That's the Buddha's wish for us to learn to see with those special eyes of kindness. So I hope that we can all learn to live our lives and see, look upon our own lives with the eyes of kindness. hope that we can learn to see everyone as beautiful just the way they are. And I hope we can all learn to see that people, any person, can be our friend. So let us aspire to be born in this land of Amida's, Buddha's peace and bliss, the land where all people can enjoy lasting peace and happiness. And at this time, let us join our hands in Gassho.
Naman Dabut, Naman Dabut, Naman Dabut,
Naman Dabut, Naman Dabut. Sam, I'd like to briefly share my reflections in Japanese as well. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho, お願いします.
Hotoki ga ayumi ni ikareru tokoro wa kuni mo machi mo mura mo sono oshie ni michibikare nai tokoro wa nai. Sono tame yo no naka wa heiwa ni osamari taiyo mo tsuki mo akaruku kagayaki kaze mo hodo yoku fuki ame mo yoi toki ni furi saigai ya ekibyo nado mo okorazu kuni ni wa yutaka ni nari minshu wa heion ni kurashi bukki mo totte arasoi koto mo naku naru hitobito wa toku o totobi omoyari no kokoro o mochi atsukute reigi o omo omonji tagai ni yuzuri au koto ga dekiru to nanman dabutsu nanman dabutsu nanman dabutsu.
これは仏説無量寿経の御門ですけど、その武器とあの兵士がいらない国という話ですね。それはまさに阿弥陀如来の国ですけど、まあどんなところでしょう。それはみんなが特別な目を持って周りの人を見るということですね。これは悟りの目を、ものを見るというのは、普通に見るときは、ああ、この人は綺麗、この人はあまり綺麗じゃないとかと見てしまうんですね。とか、ああ、この人は友達、ああ、こいつは敵だとかと思うようになってしまうんですけど、そういう優しい仏様の目からものを見ると、すべてのものは平等に綺麗でも醜くもない。そして友達とか敵とかそういう分け隔つことも一切ない。その目から物事を見えるのは仏様の大慈悲ですね。私たちがお念仏によってその慈悲を自分の命に届くんですね。私の人生を仏様の目から見えるようができたら、みんな平等に好き嫌いもなく平等に受け入れるようになるんですね。そういうふうになったら、きっと世界が穏やかになって、争いもなく、その武器とか兵士の必要さがなくなるんですね。これは仏様、阿弥陀様が私たちを願っている様子ですね。阿弥陀様が私たちがみんなこういうふうに暮らしてほしいので、お念仏を私たちにいただくことにしました。その念仏によって私たちはその本当の真実の平等の世界に届く心ができます。その平和の願いは仏様の願いでもありますし、今日の慎む忍ぶベテランの兵士をの役をした方々も、多分その平和の国を願って国のために一生懸命頑張ってたと思いますので、そのベテランを慎みながら仏様の平和の願いを一緒に考えたいと思います。これでご法話を終了させていただきたいので、合唱をしましょう。 Please join me in 合唱。
ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。